Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
I want to welcome members of the family, aunts, uncles, grandparents, brothers, sisters, whoever might be visiting with the family this morning. I really trust and pray that you will enjoy it. And I also want to pray for the parents and the grandparents. I see these days grandparents play such a critical role in the lives of the kids. If you go to the schools, as schools close, all you do is see granny and granddads that are there to actually pick up the children. It's crazy because mummies and daddies are working. So, you know, I've got to pray for grandparents and for mothers today that they would, and fathers, of course, that they would just have lots of strength, wisdom, emotional, and natural energy, because you're in this for the long haul, hey? Parenting, once you're a parent, it never ends. You can't turn that back. That's a clock that only moves forward. And you never, ever stop being a parent. A friend of mine's granny had her 84th birthday party, and she went to her granny's party, and she was looking around, and she said, "Isn't it wonderful how nicely the kids play together?" And she was referring to her 59-year-old daughter and her 62-year-old son, respectively. Okay. You never stop being a parent. The kids will always play nicely together if they do. And I'm a mom to two adult children and to two beautiful little grandchildren who I love dearly, all four of them. And I can't help myself. I can't help myself by saying, "Have you brushed your teeth?" to Carrie Lee and to Rain. I just can't help myself. And, "Have you done this?" So I say, it's like, I know that I'm overstepping the mark of my parenting line, but it just happens. My prayers for my children were many when they were little, and they still are. Once you have a child, you'll never stop praying. But they were really many. But one of the things that I really prayed for was that my children's hearts would be knitted together and that they would become best friends. And isn't it amazing that, like, when you pray for something, you facilitate it? It's that whole thing of what's in your focus, in your primary focus in life. When you start praying for something and you're praying for it intensely, you facilitate it both in the spirit realm and it gets manifest in the natural. So you've got to make sure that your prayers are really pertinent and in line with what God desires for you, because you are facilitating it. And I used to always teach my kids, your friends are going to come and go, but family is forever. Your allegiance is first to your brother, to your sister, and not to your best friend. So that was just one thing I just always have in hindsight, which is always the best sight. And parents, moms, dads, grandparents, I think we are a lot wiser than moms and dads. So hindsight is the best sight. I would have probably taught my kids more to facilitate their hearts towards me as a mom and a dad and towards God instead of to one another. But that's just my hindsight thing, and my prayers would have probably been more, "Lord, knit my heart with Rain, knit my heart with Carrie, knit their hearts to me and to Steve." Anyway, I've forgiven myself for not praying that prayer. I don't know if my kids have forgiven me for all my mistakes, but I have. I do art, painting, and they say painting is a series of corrections. You're going to make lots of mistakes and you correct, and that's parenting. It's a series of corrections. Don't hold yourself to what you've put down on the canvas. Just know you can correct it and you can change it. It's not cast in concrete when you've made a mistake. I'm going to read a scripture now from Luke chapter 2. I don't know if you can all see that. Jamie, can we see it? No, Jamie says no. Put your glasses on, please. Okay. It says that from verse 22, "Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses. After the birth of a child," purification offering after the birth of a child. "So the parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. Now, just note there, the law of the Lord says. We're not saying we're saying that. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The prophecy of Simeon. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, he, Jesus, is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. I just want to intervene here. Those of you here, who's prophetic? You can put your hand up. I don't think you're bragging or anything. It's great. I mean, if you're prophetic and you hear from God, I want to say that you have been led to this temple today. The Spirit of God led Simeon to the temple. You have been led here today. And I want you, when we have a time of the parents coming forward with their little ones, keep your heart open for a word for those children. Keep your heart open for a word for those children, because the Bible says that the parents were amazed. I'm going to read on now, but what I just want to say, like, also, I was just thinking about this when they were amazed. I mean, like, if you ever told Wade for Nick Hook's mom that in so many years' time, this little premature baby, 29 weeks born prem, weighing 1 kilogram, was one day going to be a world record holder in the Olympics, what would she have said? What would she have said? I mean, would she have been amazed, or would she have said, haha? The doctors, in fact, thought that he would be disabled. I mean, that was his prophetic word. And today, he's an Olympic gold runner holding a world record. So I really want you to hear today for these children that are going to come forward. Then we go on to the prophecy of Anna. Anna, a prophet, another prophet, was also in the temple there. She never left the temple, though. She stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. Does anybody want to come and stay here? Hey, to stay in this temple, worshiping, praying, fasting. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone. So I don't know how many people were there. It wasn't just Mary and Joseph and Jesus and Simeon and Anna. Because the Bible says she spoke to everybody. She was so excited about this child. And who was waiting, expecting, because all these people have been waiting for a Messiah. Anyway, when Jesus' parents, verse 39, had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. So he had favor and he had wisdom. At the age 12, the Bible says again, Jesus grew in wisdom, in verse 52, stature and favor with God and all the people. And that was definitely one of my prayers for my children. I think I prayed, and I still prayed all day, Lord, give them wisdom, give them favor with God and man, and give them stature. And I often feel like with Mary and Joseph, with the prophetic word, that they were wiser with him because they had that prophetic word and they knew they were carrying a child that had destiny in them. But I want to say to you, all of you parents and grandparents, you are working with children that have destiny in them. And it's up to us to take them into the realization of their full potential. We'll get back to that. In the days of the Bible, in the Bible days, under the law of Moses, if you had a boy, when he was 33 days old, you had to take them to the temple for the purification ritual. If it was a girl, 66 days. Just a matter of interest. And the purification ritual, they used the blood of the animal or the little birds that were bought for this child. It was primarily for the husband, the wife, and the child that had been contaminated by being around a bleeding woman. So they dedicated after they were purified. So we don't do the water thing, the little sprinkle of holy water and put blood over our children anymore, because that was part of the old covenant ritual to make sure that your baby, your husband, and you were uncontaminated. Once again, you could go into public, you could rub hands with other people, you could go into the temple without contaminating the whole lot of them, because you were considered unclean. So for 33 days after the birth of baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were considered unclean until they went to the temple. And for 66 days, if you have a little girl, you are considered unclean, according to the law of Moses. Now, we don't believe that anymore, because we believe that our children are covenant children. They are born into covenant with God, because the law of Moses was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. In the Bible, you've got a few covenants that we have to look at: covenant that God made with Adam, the covenant that God made with Moses, and the covenant that came through Jesus Christ. The covenant with Moses was fulfilled when Jesus came. So when people say, you have to do this for your child and you have to do that, do it properly. Otherwise, just believe that your child has been born cleansed and dedicated to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you're going to mix the law and you're going to mix grace, you know what? Do the law properly and then go take turtle doves to a place where they can actually sprinkle the blood and make sure that your children are properly cleansed. But we believe that Adam's sin, which is basically why people do that, because children are supposedly born in sin, has been eradicated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are now in a new covenant. So sin can't cleanse you. I mean, water can't cleanse a child of Adam's sin. It's only the blood of Jesus. God made covenant. We see that God is a generational God. And that's why I say you don't have to go. I hope you can follow my notes. You can just take photos, as Greg said. So God is not just the God of... No, instead of you, if you're trying to take notes and you're getting lost because I'm talking out of my line of my notes, you can take photos. Okay. God is a God of generations. He's the God of Stephen. He's the God of Rain. And he's the God of Logan. He's a God of Janet, Louise, and Zoe. He's not a God who says, I have made a covenant with Stephen. Rain must now enter into his own covenant. Yes, there's a time where they will receive Christ and they'll get water baptized and they will say, this is what I want. But his covenant is automatically passed on to your children and your grandchildren. So every child here this morning is already in covenant with God. We're not here to make that covenant with God, because that original sin has been eradicated, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can't put that sin on them anymore. It doesn't belong to them. And we have to teach our children that. So God makes covenant. Jesus died for their sins already. They can't, and we can't, do anything to get rid of their sin. Jesus did it all. Under the old covenant, man worked for God. In the new covenant, God works for man. All we are doing here today, for those that have got children here to be dedicated, is that I want my child to follow in my footsteps, the covenant I've made with God, and love Jesus forever. Love his bride, love the church, and love others. I'm just going to, because I've been speaking so much about the covenants, I just found this so interesting, and you'll enjoy it. It's a funny little story, okay, that I read. It's basically, under the law, if a Hebrew woman was going to have a baby, let me read it first. Giving birth on the Shabbat, okay, so this would be one of your little things that you would have to read through, would you be a pregnant person. Since labor and delivery are considered life-endangering states, one must, when necessary, desecrate the Shabbat. Shabbat is sunset on a Friday, sunset on a Saturday, okay? Holy time unto God according to the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath day is holy, okay? So, when necessary, they can desecrate the Shabbat because she's going to have a baby to ensure a healthy birthing process. But since labor and delivery are natural phenomena, it is best to minimize the desecration as much as possible. So now you're going to desecrate the Sabbath by having a baby, but let's do it minimally, okay? Due to spatial constraints, I will only give several applications of the law that you need to apply to. A woman may travel to hospital or birthing center on Shabbat. She can travel there when she feels the birth is imminent. If possible, one should arrange for a non-Jewish taxi driver. it is best to set aside before Shabbat, because remember, you're not allowed to do anything. Hey, sunset. An envelope containing the amount of money needed to pay the taxi driver. If there's time, because she's got to wait until the birth is imminent, because they're hoping to push her over so she doesn't have to desecrate the Sabbath. If there is time, the driver should be shown to that envelope and he should take it himself. They're not allowed to do anything. In order to put the soon-to-be mother's mind at rest, it is permissible for her husband, other relative, friend, or coach to accompany her in the taxi or ambulance. One should ask a non-Jew to open and close the car or the taxi doors. If this is not possible, one should do it in an unusual manner. I don't know. If one is not within an Eruv, it's E-R-U-V, and I had to look up what that is, he or she should carry to the car and into the hospital only the necessary essentials. The Eruv is like, they're all over the world, in fact. They're in every country. You probably wouldn't even notice them. There would be, there are the suburbs or areas that have got like wooden poles set on with like thin fishing gut that is joined. And in that Eruv, if you go into that, it moves out from being a public place into a private place. Because now in your home, in the Shabbat, you can pick up your baby. But if you're in public and you pick up your baby or push a pram, you're violating the Sabbath. So what the Jewish people have done, they've put up these eruvs, and sometimes they can be huge. I mean, they can be miles long. And you're allowed then to push a pram in that area, pick up your baby, and do that. And apparently a lot of people have been put out of business that used to service and help the Jewish people on Sabbath once they established eruvs. Okay, so anyway, she's only allowed to carry the car and into the hospital the necessary essentials if she's not in the facility of an Eruv. If she's in it, it becomes a private place, even though it's a public place. Upon arrival in the hospital, it's better to refrain from signing. If there is no choice, one must sign with one's left hand. Then you violate the Sabbath, you must sign with your right hand. But I was just thinking like, whew, thank you, Jesus, that you've set me free from the law. Can you imagine? I'm pregnant. And then the first thing is, when's your due date? In the Jewish community, what day is your baby planned for? Because then they've got to put all these things into place so that they violate the Sabbath as little as possible. So I just said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not under the Mosaic covenant. So if you want to be fully under the law, please make sure that you don't have your baby on the Sabbath, okay? So all you're doing today is just rededicating our children already back to God who gave them to you in the first place. But we do see that Jesus grew in wisdom, favor, and stature straight after his dedication. And so there's something to it. So, you know, we've got to pray for wisdom for our children. Pray for it. It's like pray that our children, for wisdom, that they have discernment. But they're going to get it from you. Do you know that a child listens with their eyes and not with their ears? You have to model being a wise parent. You've got to model wise relationships because you are God on earth. The Spirit, the image of God is in you, and that's how they're going to get it. But God will give extra wisdom, and there is a gift of wisdom that God will give. But the best way that your children will learn wisdom is from watching you in your lives. And model it in every area of your life. You know, there's this little thing that, you know, we all have broken wings that we got from our parents. We've got to actually say, take a look and say, what broken wings am I carrying into my relationship with my children? And do something about it. Not just think about it. Actually do something about it. Because our parents have made mistakes with us, but you can correct it if you become conscious of what you've received from your mom and dad. And I know I have some, and I made those mistakes with my kids. And knowing that you have the mind of Christ, so what you're thinking and doing, it, follow your heart, follow your mind, and anything that's above the knowledge, you bring it down. What I say is above the knowledge of Christ, beat your child to oblivion because they didn't obey you. That's not Christ. That's not his knowledge. Just use your common sense there. Don't pass on negativity, bad parenting styles. Like my mom, God is going to get you. And if he doesn't, I will. You know, and I kind of did that with my kids. God is watching you. Stephen and I used to always say we were going to get, I always forget the name of those little black things that the Muslim ladies wear. Burqa. And, you know, we'd walk through the pavilion in a burqa watching our children. They wouldn't know we were there because they used to do what I call pavilion patrol. But don't just think about something. Really, really do it. You know, establish the things that you know hurt you that your parents did. And think, how am I going to do it differently? It takes work rather than just doing things on automatic, but it pays huge dividends. A wise parent will produce wise children, not perfect children, wise children. One of the little tips here I saw was alternatives to saying no. Look for things like that. Like, just an example, stop hitting. Instead of saying, stop hitting, you say, please keep your hands to yourself. So that when the no word comes in, they will listen to you. But everything is no, no, no. They are not going to listen to you. One line is to stop arguments. It's something that comes from love and logic. Basically, your kids are going to give you many hooks in life to get you into an argument with them. And there's this book called Love and Logic. You might want to look it up. And it's a book that gets you to get your children to think. And that's really important. So you answer their problems with one-liners, but it's not to fob them off. Just remember, one-liners are not to fob them off. It's to get them to think. So here are some one-liners are probably so. I know, nice try. I bet it feels that way. What do you think you're going to do? I don't know, what do you think? Bummer, how sad. Anyway, don't worry about it now. That's an option. I bet that's true. There's a whole lot. Maybe you'll like what we have for the next meal better. So you just use these things to get the child to think. Instead of trying to like take the hook and get into an argument about it. Okay, and they say people that have used these, it has worked. And it has to be worked, it has to be spoken with love and, you know, not just like, oh, I bet you feel that way. You know, it's like, really, I'm sad you feel that way. End of the story. Don't get into an argument. Then we see that Jesus grew both in wisdom and he grew in favor. Wisdom from his parents and from God, and favor with God and man. Here I just felt like so strongly we need to keep our connections with our children. Don't lose that connection. Whatever you do, moms, dads, grandparents, keep your connection with your children. Because Jesus grew in both favor with God and man. Teach them that their primary connection is to God and then to yourselves. Teach them to come to you, to run to you, to run to God. If a child stays in connection with you as a parent and they stay in connection with God, I can tell you now, favor will follow their lives. It's an automatic overflow of a child that's in connection with God and with their parents. You want to just teach them that they can just basically stay connected with you. Don't do anything stupid to break their connection with your children and your grandchildren. Just some connection destroyers. Intimidation. You've got something, it's basically that fear factory, fear-based parenting style. And a God domination control of God will get you, and if he doesn't, I will. And don't you worry, God is watching you and everything you do, and I'm going to watch you too. You know, that's a fear-based parenting style to try and get the child to obey you and to oblige. We have something in our brain called the amygdala. Okay, now have you anybody heard of the amygdala? If Olivia was here, I'm sure she would have. There you go. Mark has heard of the amygdala. The amygdala in our brain is our fight or flight. No, not flight. It's fight or flight. Okay? Center. That happens when you go into like a state of panic and your palms begin to sweat and your mouth goes tense. Your body is saying, get out of here or fight with this person to protect yourself. So it's not the freeze one, okay? The amygdala releases adrenaline and hormones into your bloodstream that inhibits your ability to think rationally. Who are we thinking about right now? The amygdala responds to nonverbal signs of anger, avoid, defensiveness, and fear. God put the amygdala there to protect you. I didn't. It manifests when a person is in a dominant situation, if somebody's in your face. Come on, when you've been at work and your boss comes and he breathes in your face and says, how stupid can you be? Or a driver jumps out of his car and comes to your window and goes, rah, I'm going to get you for driving like an idiot, or whatever. The minute somebody is in your face, the amygdala kicks in and it says, fight or get out of here. So children are also people, and they have this amygdala as well. And you can see it starts to manifest at about 8 months of age. When a stranger comes to them and goes, oh, and what do they do? Or they smack. That's the amygdala that's kicked in, because it's God's little sensory organ that he's put inside of us to protect us from what we consider harmful. It might not be real, but they also respond to imaginary things in the amygdala, like not imaginary, like perceived situations. And intimidation, threats of punishment, causes the amygdala to release hormones and emotions into our body that stop us from thinking too clearly. And the result of it is normally rebellion. We call it rebellion, but it's a chemical that is released. It's a rebel product. Rebel, get out of the situation as quickly as you can. Now, basically, their brain is telling them to save themselves, and you'll see it so often in teenagers. When a father or a mother goes into their space, the amygdala kicks in, and then we say, what a rebellious child. But meanwhile, it's something that has happened inside of their adrenal, hormonal brain type of thing that's releasing it. So we've got to be wise to that and say, what have I done that has caused this amygdala to release those chemicals? That's why I say wise parenting. Because the brain is actually telling them to save themselves. God didn't say, I mean, I could walk up to any one of you today and I can start shouting at you in your face. You wouldn't hate me while you're sitting there. But if I do that to you and I come back, why would you start thinking, I wish I could kill that woman? It's because, the amygdala kicked in. So anyway, but I'm just trying to, that God didn't say, I'm sending you the punisher, the controller, the intimidator. He said, I'm sending you the helper, the comforter, the guide, and we model that to our children. If you use control, the amygdala will kick in, and the same way as perfect love casts out fear, fear will cast out perfect love. So we've got to make sure we do this right. Build children who want to stay in favor with both you as a parent and with God. Don't cause our children or push them away from them. Just enjoy your children. Pray for them to grow in wisdom and favor and stature. Stature is their health, their presence. Pray that your children will reach their full potential, that they would have a presence about them. I mean, what happened that Jesus could teach adult men in the temple at the age 12? What happened? Why was his stature so that adult men would let Jesus sit and interact with them? He had a stature about him. He had a confidence about him. And you can always see that the result of stature and presence, there's a confidence in a person. And it comes primarily, first of all, from knowing who you are in Christ and then from your parents. If you know who you are in God, there will be a confidence, there will be a stature about you. If you know who you are in your relationship with your parents, there will be a confidence, there will be a stature about you. And you know, like I've always said, that you can see people that are in a bad relationship. They begin to wither. I mean, we've seen that, hey? How people begin to wither and fade away and draw back. They're in a bad relationship, and people that come forward and rah and whatever, they're in a good relationship. What is it? Why does our stature diminish when we choose wrong relationships? But if they've got wisdom, they're not going to choose those wrong relationships. So we've got to tell them who they are in God, what God did, the trouble that he went to restore his relationship with them. I mean, he went to a lot of trouble so that you and him can be friends today. It didn't just happen. And we've got to say to our kids, you are called of God. God has a plan for you and a purpose for you. I just see it. just ask God. That's what I'm saying, the prophetic people. When you see these children here, if you get a word for them, please, I'm begging you, come forward and don't hold back. I was listening to Zoe and Logan last night. I was babysitting two kids. But anyway, Logan says to Zoe, Zoe, you must never listen to the devil, okay? You must only listen to Granny, and he points at me, and Papa. Okay. But often we tell Logan, you know, God has got such a plan for you, my boy. You are so special, and he sees you so special. How am I special? I don't know what's going to happen, but there's something really special about you. You know, just speak those things over your kids. And don't take the bait when your kids want to fight with you, because you're going to destroy what you've built. It's amazing, like one bad incident can inhibit your child for their entire life. And you can build so many good things, but it's just the way it is. I'm going to ask the parents to come to the front now. Parents with their babies, those of you that need to go and get your children, quick, run. Those whose children are with babysitters, I don't want too much downtime. So those, if you could come forward. And as a church, while they're coming forward, I want us to partake in this. Do you know that these people are, in the spirit realm, your family? You might not like the look of some of them, but that's not your choice. They're actually your family. So you know that these children, they don't just belong to the immediate little family, they belong to a larger family. Grandparents, you can come as well. I think you play such an important role in their lives. Grandparents, you're really more than welcome to come up as well with your babies, because I know they're your babies. I just want to know that they belong to a larger family than what we see here today. And I want to ask you as a church that you would stand alongside these families in prayer and to help them when necessary. Not
just where did
help.
All these babies come from all of a sudden? It's like creeped out of the woodwork. Like one minute there's no babies, next minute there's like millions of babies.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow.
So today all we're going to do is recognize the sovereign hand of God upon our children. And knowing that we want to live our lives as godly parents, asking him for both wisdom, favor, and stature for our children and for ourselves. We are not dedicating our children to God out of the blue. We're just dedicating them back to him, the gift that he gave us in the first place. And I just want to say, parents, if you haven't dedicated your life to Jesus as a parent or a grandparent, the starting place of wisdom, stature, and favor is the dedication of yourselves to God. Because without God, there's no wisdom. So I'm going to ask for a prayer to come up on the board. And I want us to all pray together. The whole church can pray together. There's a prayer there that we can turn around and you can face it. And I want us to read it together. Okay? Because we're going to dedicate parents first. Okay. And if your babies cry, please don't worry. It's not a problem. Let's start together. Lord Jesus, I dedicate my life and ways to you. Thank you for your love for me and for forgiving me for everything that I have done wrong. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would lead me as the parent of this child by coming into me and taking control. In Jesus' name. Okay, now I was going to ask the fathers to take a hold of the children, but I mean, I see some of the kids don't want daddies to hold, they want mommies and grannies to hold, which I understand because little Zoe would be doing exactly the same to me right now. And then we're going to pray this prayer together, the dedication prayer. We're going to actually dedicate the babies to Jesus right now and to the Father. If we can go into the next one. And just where there are lines, I want you to put your names into it. And where there's a line for your child's name, I want you to put your child's name into it. Okay, I want to hear you all. Say your names. I dedicate my child. Put their child's name in there. back to you today. Father God, I ask for both wisdom and favor.
Father God, I ask for both wisdom and favor.
On our lives as parents and on my child's life. I ask that you would enable us. To be the best parent
to this child,
knowing that you, Father, deliberately chose us to parent this child. I promise to impart to them a love for you and for others, a love for your word, for the bride, the church, here on earth. I promise today to take care of this child that you have given me as a gift, to pray for this child, to cover, protect, provide and love them. Help me to release my child into their full potential here on earth. In Jesus' name. We're going to play a song now, and I want to ask anybody who feels they've got a prophetic word for any of these beautiful children here just to come forward and bring it for the child. And I'm just going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to pray a song. So, Father, today we want to pray for, I hope I've got all the children's names here. If I haven't, please forgive me, and I'll add it into heaven later. I pray today for Kendall, Henry, Joshua, Thomas, Nomzoma, Sarah, Nikita, Joelle, and Michelle, for Philip. I pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit and God would come upon their lives today, and that it would be manifest in an unusual favor. I pray for a wisdom, which is a gift from God, to be a part of their everyday lives. I pray, Father, that they would grow in stature and in favor and in wisdom with both God and man, and that they would know the goodness of God all the days of the earth, all the days of their lives here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. We can just play that song. We've got a song we're going to play, and just anybody who's got a prophetic word or feels that they've got a word for one of these children, please, I'd just love you to come forward. It does amazing things for these kids, for the parents. I want these parents to hold their child in awe.
I have prayed, and you heard my cry for this baby. This moment now I pray, and I vow to you this day, I dedicate,
what's your name again, Monica?
This baby, oh,
sorry,
back to you.
Wonder if we could just all stand up for a moment. This is a special time that we stand together with these families up front here. Many of us who've got kids and grandkids here this morning know the challenges and the difficulties often in little children and babies, and how much prayer these folk need at this stage of their lives. So don't you want to just reach out your hand in an act of blessing? And like Janet said, if you get a prophetic word after the service, find that couple, find that family, go to them and just give them that encouraging word. So right now, maybe in your heart, just if you hear something, just store it. You don't have to come now, but just store it. But will you agree with me as we reach out our hands, just as an act of faith and agreement over every little child represented here? We pray for protection, over their lives, over guidance for their families, just for the presence of the Holy Spirit upon them. And even, Lord, through the different phases and stages, that you will make yourself known to them as the one who saves, the one who said, don't forbid children from coming to me. You reach out and bless them, Lord, this morning, through our hands, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thanks, Janet, for sharing. I just want to correct something that she did say, that I know what she was trying to say when she said, we are God on this earth for our children. No, we're not taking the place of God, but God works through us to our children. We're not God on earth. Okay? Just in case anyone is wanting to join a New Age church and they think this will be a great place. We are not God. We are God's representatives. Amen. Join us for a cup of tea. There's some snacks outside. Have fun. Thanks again. Thanks, Jan. Well done.